verses 27 through 31. Isaiah 40, verses 27 through 31. And it reads like this. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even you shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Amen. Lord, thank you for knowing us so perfectly. You're intimate, in the words of the psalmist, you're intimately acquainted with all our ways. And so here we are now, bowing before you. Your word open before our eyes, our hearts open before your eyes. Use us now, together as instruments of worship. Help us together. Help us to learn together. And so we need you to speak, Lord. Your people listen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, God bless you. Our subject for today is working and waiting in hope. Working and waiting in hope. We've journeyed for a number of weeks now, and we have seen together the value of having confidence in knowing who you are in the Lord, right? For a number of weeks, we've seen also the value of knowing what you do for the Lord. You need to have confidence, not only in who you are, but what you do. And both need to be in regard to the Lord himself. We saw the past couple of weeks the value of having confidence in knowing about your eternal future. We all need to know that this is all temporary. The life we live, the struggles we have, the joys we have, all of it is temporary. And so we need to know, we need to have confidence about our eternal future. You need to know where you're going when this is all over. God intends, right? That's one of the great levels of confidence that the Christian can have, is to know what happens after this. What it helps us to move forward when things not only seem not to be changing, but they're deteriorating. It helps us to move forward because we know what's ahead, right? We know that our eternal future holds so much better. Now, what I want to spend a few minutes about today is convincing you that the Christian must also have confidence in waiting for the Lord. Even though you know heaven's ahead, you know you're doing what God wants you to do right now, you've got to learn to wait. And you've got to be able to wait with confidence. You see, you can't wait, and as James would call it, be tossed to and fro. You're like you're being fickle. You see, like the wind. You need to be able to wait with confidence. And though you are going to have, the Bible calls them, the strong winds will come, the storms will come, the difficulties will come, but you need to be rooted on the firm foundation, yes. And so confidence that you can wait for the Lord even when it looks like nothing is changing. And I want to convince you that waiting doesn't mean you're doing nothing, right? You have to learn how to wait. And that's the reason I called it working and waiting, all right? Now, what we're picking up a portion of scripture here where Isaiah has been exhorting and speaking to Israel about the dangers that are to come, and now Israel is facing some real suffering as a result of their own sin, some real suffering as a consequence of their own sin. What Israel realizes is that they've not done the work that God assigned them to do. Now, I want you to think about this as we begin our time together. Anyone that God calls to himself, he calls you to be a witness, okay? He calls you to be light. And so there are no trophy believers. There are no trophy. God doesn't have a program to where he's just trying to get people in. God is purposeful. And anyone that he brings into the kingdom, you have been saved with purpose. There was purpose in God's mind before you were born, a purpose for you. Isn't that good? And so when he brings you into the kingdom, he wants you to then learn your purpose. Yes? And the fundamental purpose for any saint, Old Testament, New Testament, whatever generation you live, the fundamental purpose is to be a witness for the Lord. Amen. To represent him, yes? To be light so that people can see what it means to live and to know God, to have a real relationship with God. Not with a God, but with the God, with the true and living God. So to be a witness. And Israel had not done that. The picture that Israel had presented brought shame to God. The world had evangelized Israel rather than the reverse, rather than Israel evangelizing the world. Israel looked more like the world than they did like the light of God. Okay? And finally, then, you find Israel now suffering, and they want God to intervene. And we can be that way. We can find ourselves in the predicament and circumstances that are a direct result of our sin, and we don't understand why God won't intervene and get us out and bring some relief. Okay? And so they wanted God to intervene and bring some relief, and that's where we pick it up today. I want to talk about these two items, and then we'll try to wrap it up. I want to talk about working for the Lord and waiting on the Lord. Working and waiting. So in verses 27 and 28, I want to talk about working. And then 29, 30, and 31, I want to talk about waiting. Now what you'll notice, go back to verse 27. What you'll notice is that our paragraph, our context begins with what I'm going to call a wrong perspective. Israel now has a wrong perspective. In other words, they are thinking wrong. And a wrong perspective puts you in, as a man, as the old King James says, I believe it is, a man thinks what? So he is. So your thinking will affect how you respond and react, okay? And so this wrong perspective, let's read. You got verse 27? Look at it. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? You see that? And my right is disregarded by God. I summarize this way. Basically what they're saying, God cannot see my circumstance, and he does not hear my prayer. Think about that. God can't see what's going on with me. And even though he may hear what I'm saying, he's not going to do anything about it. Okay? Now, here's what I want to say to you. Complaining and blaming God for your problems is wrong thinking. Yes? Yet, now here's the challenge for all of us. It's so easy to sit on the sideline and see somebody else is wrong. But you need to think about this very carefully. Even though you don't tell anybody, what are you saying about your situation? You know God could fix it. You know God could change it. You know God could give you some relief, right? So are you even entertaining the thought that it's God's fault? You see the challenge? And that's the reason I'm saying that you have to be careful what you're thinking when you're working. And work is hard, and difficulty is there. So, in other words, what he winds up saying is that God does not understand or care about me. He doesn't understand or care about what's going on with me. You remember when the disciples were there in the boat with Christ? You remember that situation? And they were in the storm, right? They race down to him, and he's sleeping. What's the question they ask him when they wake him up? Don't you care? Now, here's the Lord who's been taking care of them all on this whole entire journey. Had no money, no income, but he's been making sure that they eat and everything, all their needs have been met. One little crisis, and the first thing out of their lips is, don't you care? You see, that's the challenge when you get in trouble, is that you start doubting whether or not God cares about you. And then you doubt whether he's going to do anything about it anyway. And once you start doing that, then you wonder what's the need to pray. You see the problem? That's the challenge. My brother, my sister, we're just talking straight, okay? You're working for the Lord, and yet you've got an enemy that's determined to stop you from working. Determined to stop you from praying. Determined to stop you from moving forward. Just because what you see doesn't make sense. And God is saying to you, he said, Willie, I told you, you live by what? Faith, not by what you see. But see, that's the easy verse to quote. The challenge is when you what? You got to live it. You got to keep working even though nothing's changing. Even though it's bad and it's getting worse. You see it? And so, you know what I thought about? You all know the story of the prodigal son in Luke 15? Remember that story? Here the son was, the Bible says that there were two sons at home there, the father's taking care of them. Things were really good. The one son decided, father just ain't caring for him the way he could. Father doesn't understand him. He needs what? He needs his freedom. So he basically goes to his father and says, well, I need to get my inheritance, I want to get it now. You know basically what that means when you go and ask your father for his inheritance? You know what that says to your father? I wish you were dead. Because that's when you get, the only way I get my inheritance is what? When you die. So I just wish you just go ahead and die so I can get, and that's basically what he said to his father. I wish you were dead, so just go ahead and give me the money and I can go. And what did the father do? Gave it to him. Child had no idea how he'd broken his father's heart. No idea the sacrifice. And the same thing with children today. I tell children that I know it's hard for you to believe. It's hard for you children to believe that I was once a teenager. But I was. And I wasn't a very good one. But I was. And just like you all, I thought the same thing. My parents don't understand. They can't relate. They're not giving me what I want. I had no idea what the sacrifices they were making. You see? That's the challenge. That's wrong thinking. When you don't get what you want, then you start doubting the care that someone's been doing, the care you've been provided all along the way. Just because you can't get your way for one challenge. That's the dilemma when you're trying to work. Is you start blaming the ones that are taking care of you. You see that challenge? Whenever you start thinking God is the problem, you put yourself in a bad position. We follow? Follow me so far? And so that's what I call the wrong perspective. But the right perspective I see in verse 28. You back in Isaiah 40? Have you not known, have you not heard, the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Amen. So what's the point? He's saying to Israel to deal with all these doubts and fears, you know better than that. You know that God is the eternal creator. You know that God is omnipotent. He can do what? Anything. You know that God is omniscient. You know that God is omnipresent. You know it. You know it. You know it. And so right thinking, you see, comes right behind those rhetorical questions in verse 27. Why do you say, O Israel, why are you asking questions like this? Why would you doubt God's care? Why would you doubt that God's not involved? Again, just like a child. Things not going their way, and they doubt whether the parent really cares, whether the parent really wants the best for them. And so he's saying, you know different than that. You know different than that. God knows everything, what? About everything. And he can do anything, and he's everywhere at the same time. God, think of this. God has no weaknesses. Isn't that phenomenal? No failures, no errors, no deficiencies. God has no physical needs. He never lies. He never changes. He's never fearful. He's never doubtful. He's never worried. He never gets sleepy. He never goes on vacation. None of that. Isn't that tremendous? He's the eternal creator. You don't need to doubt that. How could he not know what's going on in your life? You see? He doesn't have any of the needs that you do as a human being. The point is this. When you find yourself working and challenged with life, challenged with trials, challenged with difficulties, remember what you have been taught about God. Right? And remember what you know to be true. Because you're going to be tempted so often to think things that are wrong. And you have to catch that before you let your imagination start running away. It can happen in any relationship. It can happen between a husband and a wife. Start doubting. Anytime doubt, and it's an amazing thing. Pick any relationship, two friends. It's an amazing thing. Once you start doubting your friend, you start speculating about everything they say, right? Everything they do, it has some kind of implied meaning to it, right? And so that's the challenge. You need to remember what you've been taught about God. Don't reach your own conclusions. Yes? Remember what you know to be true. And again, I go back to your young people. It's a tragic thing that this world seems to see the family as the enemy. And the world is trying to woo the children with making them think evil about what goes on in the family. The world wants a child to believe that discipline is bad. Right? The world wants the child to believe that having some priorities and plan and purpose is bad. The world wants the child to believe that the parents don't really have their best interests, you see? And so, again, I take it back to this analogy right here, is that you might be able to see that with the child and the family relationship, but it's the same with us as children and God. We are God's children, right? And you can't start making any of these wrong assumptions about God. You need to deal with what you know is true. That's what's going to help you when you're hurting. Remember what you have been taught. See, that's what he says. Have you not known? In other words, you've been taught better than that. Have you not heard? You know you've been taught better than that. And so remember what you taught, what you've been taught, and what you know to be true. What's your point, Brother Willie? I'm going to say this and move to my last point. You remember, I want to tie this together. You remember last week I told you that the big challenge for us as a people right now in this culture is our minds. The battlefield is the mind. Right? And again, the men know we talked about this a few weeks ago. The Proverbs writer, I thought I wrote that down. Proverbs 4:23. You remember we talked about that last week. Guard your heart, or watch over your heart, what? With all diligence, for from the heart comes what? The issues of life. What's there will control how you function, right? And what you do. And we saw Paul put it another way in Philippians 4 after telling people not to be anxious, right? Remember that verse 8? Whatever things are true and right, you remember that? Just and pure and lovely. Commendable, all of those things. He said, any excellence, anything what? Worthy of praise, do what? Think. Think on these things. I want you to see that I'm not giving you a different message. I'm saying to you, this is the deal. If you're going to learn to work for the Lord, you've got to be careful with your mind. And I'm not picking on young people, us older folks, we all have a tendency to just kind of watch what we want to watch, read what we want to read. But God is saying to us, be careful what you allow to enter your thinking. As a matter of fact, he says to me, you need to test what I say. You see? That's the reason we're so blessed to be in a culture where you can have your own Bible. You got it on your pad, on your phone. You can look at it. You can check me out right now. Be that diligent with everybody. You see? Right? Guard your mind. That's the war field. All the devil wants to do is to get a little. Isn't that what he did for Eve? Just to create a little bit of doubt. You know God's holding out on you. You see? Just that. So it doesn't matter the age. That's his tactic. If I can get you to doubt what you're doing, doubt the value of it. You see? You got to have confidence. You got to have confidence. And your confidence needs to come from the Lord, not from me, not from somebody in the church. You need to have confidence you're doing what the Lord wants you to do. Yes? So we good? This is a serious battle. And you see, if I wanted to fill all these seats, I could feed some stuff to people's minds that would get them here. And they're doing it all over the world. You see, those people don't. When you do that, you don't love people. You don't. You see, how can you love someone and not tell them the truth?
That's right.
If someone comes here, I want them to love the truth.
Yes.
Your mind. I know that's an old slogan. You remember that old slogan? A mind is a terrible thing to wear. You remember that? I know what was said there. You know, they're talking about education, and that's true. But I'm saying to you that as a Christian, you need to know God says that you now have the mind of Christ.
Yes.
Don't waste it. Don't waste it. You can think right.
Yes.
And I'm not fussing at anybody. I just want us to be people who know what we're working for. Yes? And not if doubts, when the doubts come, you need to be able to fight it. Fight it. Fight it. But you need to fight doubt with truth. Fight fear with truth. Fight temptation to worry with truth, right? Just as you saw Christ when the devil was throwing everything at him, but he says, have you not read? Right? And where are you going with this, Brother Willie? I got a lot I want to say, but I'm going to leave it with this. I guess I'd leave you with this encouragement. I would encourage everybody in the room to start memorizing Scripture. How are you going to deal with these temptations if you got nothing there? You can't go grab your Bible all the time. Right? Psalmist says, your word, O Lord, have I what? Treasures hidden in my heart that I what? Might not sin against you. I remember as a young Christian, and the first time that I saw this battle, I was challenged by a teacher who was helping me with the things I was struggling with. And I started out by memorizing Romans chapter 6. Some people think you can't remember two verses. You don't use 10% of your mind, or 20% at the most. That the mind is phenomenal. That many people that become members of the synagogues and the Hebrew councils, they had to memorize most of the Old Testament. And we're becoming too lazy with our minds. See, we depend too much on these electronics. People don't even know when you get the right change. And I don't mean to keep going down there. You understand what I'm saying? Our minds need to be engaged. We're being wooed to dullness. This world doesn't want you to think. Doesn't want you to use your sanctified mind. And so I know that sessions like this are considered boring and dull because people want their minds to be entertained. But God wants your mind to be informed.
Amen.
I'm more concerned about you having truth than being happy and entertained.
Amen.
Once you got the truth, then you can go. We can enjoy it, right? We can enjoy life. You can love life and have good days. Based with the truth, the truth will guide you. Be a light, right? Light to your path, lamp so that you know how to walk. Keep you safe. You understand what I'm saying? And so I'll just leave you with that. So, you know, I memorized Romans 6, 7, and 8. And as soon as I had problems at work, I could see it coming. Well, what shall you say then, Willie? You continue in sin, the grace might increase, may it never be. How shall we? But by the time I could get down to verse 4, it was gone. You see? But you gotta learn how to use your mind to fight.
Yes.
Gotta have something there. The latest movie won't do it for you. The latest video game or whatever, it's not gonna do it for you. The last place you had ribs and whatever. I mean, it's all good. It's good to eat out and do those things, but that's not gonna help you when the time comes. And you got to fight. Yes? All right. So, that's working. Waiting real quick. What I see in the last section here is that one of the things that he brings forward when it comes time to working and waiting is that this issue of power. Okay? Every believer, come on now, let's be honest. Every believer has times of weakness and weariness when only God's power can help you. If you've been a Christian very long, you know you've been at a place where many people have tried to help you. When the money that people gave you didn't really help. Things that people do to try to help us. When God is showing us that what you need is me.
Yes.
You understand what I'm saying? And so God knows how to put us in this place of weakness when nothing else can help but him. You see verse 29? He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might he increases strength. And there are no super Christians in this room. None of us are super. So we all have this challenge of those times when we're weak and we're weary. Much like Paul, you remember what Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, you remember that? God gave him what? A thorn in the flesh? And he pleaded with God to take it away. And God told him that he's not going to take it away. He's going to give him what? Grace. Paul says, well, then I'll boast in my weakness, right? Because when I'm weak, what? Then I'm strong. You see, that's my point. God shows us that when I bring my power into your weakness, that's when you find victory. You don't become Superman, Superwoman. You become a weak man who depends on God.
Amen.
See the difference? And everybody's looking at you, know that it didn't come from you. Right? So you need to be ready anytime someone comes to ask you how you handle that. How'd you get through that? See? I know how you were broke down. You get it? That 120, Psalm 121, people love that song, don't they? Lift your heads to the hills. The question is, from where does your help come? Right? I used to hear those songs, and I'm thinking, why are people praying to looking to the hills? You ever heard those songs like that? It looks like the help comes from what? The hills. But it's like they don't read verse 2. That's the question. It doesn't say my help comes. I'm looking to the hills because my help comes from the hill. He said, now you look at the hills, and I want you to answer this question. Where does your help come from? Then he answers it in verse 2, right? My help comes from the Lord. Yeah. Maker. Right? He who makes heaven and earth. That's my helper. That's my helper. You're getting this? When you're weak, God wants believers to confess our desperate need for him and his help. You got verse 30? Even you shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. Yeah, that's a fact. What's your point, Brother Willie? It really, your education, God is going to prove to you that your education can't solve all your problems. God is going to prove to you that the best financial planning can't solve all your problems. God is going to prove to you that having the best medical insurance or the best insurance at your home or whatever the case may be, that all of those things, eventually God is going to show you those things can't solve all your problems. He wants us to confess our desperate need. Now, notice what I wrote this specifically this way. He wants you, first of all, to see your desperate need for him. Not just running to him to get help, but first of all, you need what? Him. And with him comes what? His help. Right? You need to enjoy God first, not just what God can do for you. That's the power. Getting in God's presence is wonderful. And that's the reason I'm encouraging y'all. I hope you take it on. You don't have to take on some major challenge. Take a verse. Start memorizing a verse. See how that'll help you. Just to help you to get in God's presence when you find yourself drifting. So think about what you're dealing with and then go find a verse that helps you with that. You see what I'm saying? Find a verse that helps you with that. And so that you can enjoy him and then his help. Yes? And then his help. So, regardless of how strong and industrious you are, you're going to need the Lord. God is glorified in our weaknesses. You remember what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 6? For when I am weak, what? Then I'm strong, for my power is made perfect in weaknesses. All right. And then finally, not only is there power in these three verses, but I see hope. And I want to end here. What I'm saying here is that God brings renewal and revival. You got verse 31? But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Amen. Now, that phrase, renew their strength, you know what it means? You see what I said there? It means to keep putting on new strength. That's what the word literally means when it's the etymology of the word in the Hebrew. To renew your strength means that God keeps putting on new strength. You get weak, God gives you what? New strength. You get worn down, God gives you new strength. It's like John talks about, in the Gospel of John chapter 1, talks about God, Jesus who came with grace upon grace, waves of grace. And so this is what he's saying here. God keeps sending waves of strength because I need it. I get weak so often. He just, you see? Why does he do that? Because when he does that, I didn't write that down here, but when he does that, it makes us look more like God is working with us, right? See, when a person can see them, they beat you down and you come back. They beat you down and you come back. They beat you down and you don't run off. They don't understand why you're like Paul. You remember they took him out of the city, stoned him to death, thought he was dead, and what did he do? Got run up and what? Went right back. How does he do that? Gets new strength. New strength. Waves of strength that just keep on coming when you get worn down. It makes you look more like the character of God. It appears that you function like God. You don't grow weary. You don't faint or give up because God keeps giving you new strength. And then finally, God revives those who are weary and faint with hope. But you say, well, Brother Willie, I don't know what all that means, so I'm going to try to wrap it up this way. Listen, I'm trying to bring this to a conclusion. So if you just give me your attention for just a few minutes, we'll try to conclude. We must, my brother, my sister, we must continue to work for the Lord while we wait on him, right? Work and wait. You don't get to do one or the other. We need to what? Do both. You have to learn to do both. Work for him and wait on him. God has told us to expect difficulties. He told us to expect trials, expect tests and opposition. He's told us to expect persecution, slander, injustice. He's told us to expect hatred, abandonment, loneliness. He's told us to expect insults, lies, spiritual warfare, alienation. He's told us to expect sinful instigation, threats, dangers, cold heart, dull consciences. He's told us to expect it as we continue to work and wait. So none of us should be surprised by what we see going on in the world right now. None of us should be surprised about what we see going on in the church right now. And if God willing, I think I told you, I was trying to head in that direction when I wound up here. I don't know if God will let me go there. But I want us to see how the Bible paints these last days. For those people who seem to be so surprised, the Bible paints the picture clearly, right, of these days. And says, don't you be surprised when this happens. But we act like we're shocked. Right? Our minds need to be filled with truth. So that I don't get knocked off balance with some of these awful things that are going on. Amen? And so God has told us so that we would be prepared. But God also promises to never leave us, right, or desert us in this world. He promises that he still has all things under control. He promises to give us grace and power that we need for any and every difficult circumstance of life. The Lord who knows everything about you knows when you are weary and weak. Do you believe that? The Lord who knows every detail about you most assuredly knows when you are weary and weak. He knows when you feel like you have no more strength. The Lord promises to give power for you to finish your work. But you need to know what work you've been called to do. Not by the church. Not by the pastor or the deacons or somebody. this committee or that committee. Know what work the Lord has called you to do. And he promises to give you what? Power to finish that work. Amen? Yes, he does. He's going to give you power to be salt, power to be light, power to forgive, power to love, power to speak the truth, power to be merciful, power to be kind, power to have peace and joy, power to love life and have good days. He promises that if you will only remember what you know to be true when you're under pressure, remember that God is the creator. God is the sustainer. God is the provider. God is the protector. God is the healer. God is righteousness for you. God is light. He is your refuge and your strength when you're under pressure. God is your counselor. He promises to give you wisdom when you need to know how to deal with a situation. He promises. He says, come to me. What? If anyone lacks wisdom, what? Ask. Ask. He promises. He's a very present help in times of trouble. He's your peace. He's your joy. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. Remember what's true. He's immutable. He's eternal. He's faithful. He's true. He's holy. He's righteous and good. God is love. And that doesn't even scratch the surface. But see, if you know what's true, think of it. By the time you just go through that, get your soul lifted up, right? Think on God. My help comes from the Lord. You keep looking at the stock market, you're going to always be discouraged. I'm just being real. Or what's happening to industry or this job or that job? What's happening to families? God is saying, I don't want you to be surprised by this. You remember how the book of Hebrews said it with those Christians that have basically lost everything? You got to learn to fix your eyes on Jesus. Yes. So that you can learn to run the race what? Set before you. You can't be looking at all the other contestants, looking at what's going on with this one and that one. If you're going to finish the race, you got to fix your eyes on Jesus. Yes. The author, the perfecter of your faith. Yes? So our minds are going to have to be that resolute if we're going to be able to fix our eyes on Jesus. And remember, he gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Yes? And they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Keep on working. Keep on waiting. And if you're not a Christian, this would be a good day. A really, really good day for you to find peace with the Lord. This would be a good day for you to surrender. Stop your running. Stop trying to find satisfaction in something else. Stop trying to find peace in something else. If you're not a Christian, I want to tell you something. You've never known joy like the joy you'll know when you come to Christ. Now, I know until you experience it for yourself, you won't know it. But if I could encourage you, you need to come. As the Bible says, you need to taste what, and see. That's the only way you're going to know. Y'all know we're going to be eating here in a few minutes. Now, I could tell you about how good that food is. You can smell it, right? But the only way you're going to know for yourself is what? You got to go taste and see. And I'm saying the same thing about the Lord. The only way you're going to know how good he is you got to taste and see for yourself. It would be wonderful if you find that today I want to taste, like Doubting Thomas, I want to see him for myself with my own heart. Lord, I want to thank you for these few minutes that we had together and ask you to take my feeble efforts and use them for your glory, Help us, your people, Lord, to learn how to work and wait for the Lord. Help us, your people, to embrace to really know how to meet on this battlefield, to know that the weapons of war of our warfare are not of the flesh, but you have given us weaponry. And Lord, help us to learn how to find our victory in the Lord. You are the reason we live, move, and exist. And in the words of Paul, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And so we want to thank you that we are not people here groping in the darkness, searching for truth, wondering about what is true. Help us now to live as people of truth, people of light, and people of love. In Jesus' name, amen.